listening to Kurt and Anthony on The Morning Drive on FM 96.3 and AM 620 WVMT.
Welcome back to The Morning Drive, everybody. Kurt and Anthony here on this hump day Wednesday. And joining us online now, it's former state legislator, longtime legislator, Patty Comline from Downs Racklin Martin with the Downs Racklin Martin Weekly Legislative Update. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great here. Although we're waiting to see if our property taxes are going to go through the roof, and that'll determine how we're going to be down the road.
Yeah. But we just talked about this last week, but I'm just saying, Anthony, this is the biggest thing going on. But then I'm like, well, one of these weeks we should come in with good news. We'll try and find some and come and talk to you about good news. Well, we'll somebody's good news is someone else's bad news.
Right, exactly. We'll find out toward the end of the session. I mean, It's probably, about 4 weeks left?
With the help of God, yes.
I was going to say, it seems like all of a sudden the really big things are on topic. You know, we just spoke to the governor, and my first takeaway was, so, you know, we were talking housing, all these other things, but there's always seems to me that there's something that bogs down the legislature that really isn't, I mean, I'm sure that the Fish and Wildlife Department and that whole thing is important, but now all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, so that letter they sent out in December that said the property taxes were going up 20%, hey, that's actually going to happen. It wasn't fear-mongering, so we should probably do something.
No, we have good news, though. It's not 20%. It's 14.97%.
Hey.
So, hey, look, you save 5%.
It's now, headed Patty, in the right direction.
Patty, tell us what the latest in the Ways and Means bill, where does it stand right now? I know it's been, as the chair said, it's in really in flux.
But we have a direction of where they're going at this moment, and I think they're going to vote it out today. So I will say that last Tuesday, so I'll say House Ways and Means was bold on Tuesday, but they rolled by Thursday. It was a very short-lived show of some chutzpah.
That's what it looked
but
like.
2 days before they rolled.
And Patty, can you say, why do you think they rolled? Was it because they got pressure from the principals, the superintendents, and the school boards?
Exactly. Yes. You're doing your homework. Yes. So, if you recall, when they rolled that bill, and I talked on Tuesday, Wednesday, not like you're going to remember this, but there was something in there that's still in there that's good, and it's immediate. That's immediate. Next year, they're going to put back that excess spending penalty threshold. Like if the school spends above a certain percentage over what they were last year, then they will get hit with a penalty. And they had that going a few years ago, and for some reason they paused that. So they're putting that back in. So that does encourage schools to stay under.
That's some cost containment, right?
Yes, that's a little bit of cost containment. And then there was this piece that was key, right? That was you referred to earlier, the educational opportunity payment. It was a new funding system for 2027. And what that would do is it would give everybody a flat payment. And if you wanted to raise more, you did that locally. So it tied people in with their local budgets.
And Patty, how that is similar to a bill that I proposed with Adam Gresham a few years ago. And that was met like a big thud when we proposed it, because the immediate thing we heard was, Brigham, hello.
Yes.
That violates Brigham. So
yeah, they were going to come up with this a group, and I don't know what they call it, a task force, work group, advisory panel that was going to put together. They were going to determine what was an equitable payment for all schools. So it's all that would meet Brigham, and then beyond that, you could do beyond it. But it would give this base equitable payment, and they felt that would meet Brigham. But they heard strongly from the School Boards Association, Principals Association, the superintendents. They heard from the committee members heard from their local school boards. And so a letter went out by that group talking about you're not acknowledging the inherent problems. And then they talked about healthcare costs. They did mention, they being the group of the Bs, we call them, right, the School Boards Association and company. Free school meals program, this $24 million program. Interestingly, they did not mention that Vermont has the lowest student-to-staff ratio in the country. That's also something that's a big cost driver. What they also didn't want in the bill, but they did prevail in this, was a ballot, when you vote for your budget, it's a statement that says, how much your per pupil spending is, how much percentage above last year it is, and what your penalty is going to be for the excess spending. And, I think it's very telling that this group also opposed that.
Well, and not to interrupt, but it's primarily what I believe is, and a lot of Vermonters believe is the problem. You don't hear the NEA screaming and yelling about this. It's the administration. It is so top heavy all of a sudden in our school systems that that's what I find amazing. And they don't want transparency.
No, it's funny. I have that as a note here to say that. Yes, and you're right. They do not want transparency. It's easy to blame everybody else if it's not transparent. And really what's going to start saving money is local control, and that's what this group does not want. So it's super frustrating. They're ready to bankrupt a system, then try something new. So where we are now, right now, in this bill, so we got the good. That's the excess spending threshold and this statement. If you want to pull that out of something good, but it does have that threshold in there. So the bad in there is that it does nothing to curtail rising costs, and there's nothing looking ahead for any systemic change, any real change in there. And then what's really ugly is that it's the homestead rate. So the homestead rate, that's your home, and I believe it's still 2 acres, that's your homestead. That's going to be 14.9% increase in your property taxes, the education property taxes. And for the non-homestead rate, that's going to increase to 17.99%.
Wow.
So nice how they got it to the 0.99. So
yes.
Everyone can still realize it's basically 18%. And non-homestead, again, is your businesses, your landlords, your people who own camps. Everything outside your property beyond the 2 acres is in that. So that's what it's looking like at this point. The people who receive tax payment based on their income, the income sensitized people, or they call it the property tax credit group, they will also be at 14.9%. They bought that down. That cost $25 million to lower that rate, and they did that on the backs of the non-homestead rate. But two-thirds of the population pays their property taxes on that. So it was important to get two-thirds of the people under the 15%.
And it looks, Patty, like the governor, that the committee is not going to be looking at the governor's proposal for that so-called deferred payment proposal. They initially seemed to express some interest, even though they criticized that it was coming in at the last minute. But it looks like now with what the treasurer said, that's not going to be considered at all, right?
Now, I will say they were very polite to Commissioner Beaulieu when he came in on Friday and threw that out there. They had never heard of it. They asked him if he had language. He didn't. They asked him if he run any numbers. He hadn't. They asked if he'd talk to the treasurer. That hadn't happened either. So they spent time over the weekend. And my immediate thought was, I mean, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life that money was tight and bills came in. And I didn't want to, back in the day where you actually got mail bills, I didn't want to open that envelope. And the next month, it was twice as high. So deferring payments, again, does nothing to contain costs. Does nothing to fix the problem. It just actually pushed off the problem.
So, Patty, I just want to note that you did actually not open that envelope so that your payment doubled.
Yeah, exactly. And so the next month, I don't know. I had to work extra hours. It's like, yeah.
Right.
That was in my younger years. I'm much more responsible now. You learn those lessons.
It's a good example, though.
It's a great example that most people can definitely relate to.
And even, I just want to ask you this, Patty, even before the treasurer joined in and gave his opinion that it would create a real problem with the credit rating agencies for Vermont, he had checked with them and they weighed in and said had a real problem with it. It also seemed to me, even before that, that it sort of gave a lifeline to legislators. Tell me if you agree or disagree with this. That would say, like, okay, if we did this, you can delay the problem. You get through your election year. Everybody can get elected and say, hey, look, we reduce your taxes. The payment will be coming due later. And then hope that the legislators would take care of this at a later date. That's what I looked at that when the very first time I heard it.
I think they're being responsible. I think the chair of Ways and Means has been struggling. I think she would have liked to have kept this, plan for 2027 in. I think they're challenged by a lot of things, but I think they recognize that was not a responsible, sustainable way to address this, and that would have been punting the problem. If they had suggested that, I wonder how the governor would have reacted to it. It's absolutely not fixing anything that's inherently wrong with the system. tying local votes, tying local spending to, you know, how am I trying to say it? Trying to spend local spending to your decisions. That's what's going to contain it. That's what's got out of control. There's also this weird thing in the system that if you lose students, your tax rate goes up because you get paid a per pupil amount. If you gain students, your tax rate's going to go up. Your spending's going to go up because you have more students and you got to deal with that. So when you have a system that whether you lose students or gain students, it increases budgets.
Yep.
How is it not going to be out of control?
Patty, can we grab a phone call for you?
Yes.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive.
Good morning, Patty. I don't ask this because I don't think you could be objective, but obviously you're a Republican. And I'm curious, mm-hmm. which clients does Darren Drackman Martin represent on these issues? Because doesn't that frame your position?
So I'll make it clear I'm not a Republican, but I will tell you that we represent a lot of businesses, and the tax rate of 17.99%. is a concern to everyone, and they also all own homes, all of my clients, so I think it should concern everybody.
Yeah, I think that every person living, whether you own a home, rent a home, or visiting, is going to see an increase in cost coming down the pike on top of what we've seen in the last year.
And yes, and also add that as with Kurt, we have a lot of experience working with property taxes over how many years, Kurt? For me, it's like 19.
Yeah, yes, long time.
Yeah.
And Patty, do you think anything will be done about, I mean, there's so many facets to why this is, I mean, how about unfunded mandates? Doug Racine was on the show the other day, and he mentioned your name and mine in regard to an old bill on stopping unfunded mandates. That's at least a portion of the problem, right?
It is. It is. It's not. Yes. Then they did talk about all the mental health. You know, they have to hire a lot more paraeducators. They hire counselors in the schools to help with mental health, which could be covered in the general fund. If you do that, you're going to raise taxes to deal with it there. So it is a cost shift back and forth. One way or another, we're going to be paying for it.
Yeah. All right, Patty, we're going to let you go. Thanks for that report. But just one more real quick thing. What's your prediction? What comes out of the Ways and Means Committee today? I mean, not every detail, but what do you think they settle on?
I think they settle on that spending penalty, the excess spending. And they've got a lot of studies, a lot of task force.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll look into this for the next year.
And will this bill buy down the property tax rates at all any further?
Well, there's work that can be done in the Senate, and we're working on that for what they could do to help the people, or help the business, the non-residential rate, non-homestead rate. So we'll see. But the only way to deal with it in the immediate problem that we're facing, the imminent problem, is to find more revenue. So we don't want to raise more taxes to patch the system.
All right.
I don't do that. Okay.
Thank you, Patty. That's Patty Comline with the Downs-Racklin-Martin Legislative Report. That was great. Thank you very much.